I'd like you to find page 840 in your Bibles, and we're going to read one verse out together. Page 840, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'd like all of us to have a go at this if you can read, so please get sight of a Bible. Let me hold something up here. Anyone know what this is? Not just any penknife. It's a Swiss Army penknife. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. But I've got a Swiss Army verse for you. This penknife does a lot of things. I'm going to show you what it does in a minute. But this is a Swiss Army verse, which does a lot of things in one verse. We're going to read it out together. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15, it starts, "Here is a trustworthy saying," and ends, "of whom I am the worst." We're going to read that out together. Are you ready? Go. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Well done. Right, Swiss Army. Well, it's a penknife. It's got a sharp knife at the front, and that's very good for cutting up your apple. You don't want to cut your thumb if you can help it. Good for that. But that's the main thing it does, like any good knife, but it's got lots of other things. It's got a corkscrew, which, where's my bottle of wine? Here. It's not. I'm actually not going to do that because we're going to give that to the caretaker who opened up for it. It's got a corkscrew that could open that bottle if we wanted. What I have got in here is this. Who knows what that is? Can opener. So I could. Oh, well, I could. Look. I could go around and open it up like that, but actually, it's a lot easier to do that. But I could. If I didn't have one of those, I could do it with this. It's a can opener as well. It's a saw. Do you know it's a saw? There. Look at that sharp saw. For cutting wood, not fingers. And it's a screwdriver. Screwdriver there. And a bottle opener. In fact, it's a brilliant thing. It does loads of things in one penknife. Well, this verse that we've got today does loads of things. Let me show you what it does. Here's our Swiss Army knife. It came and went. There it is. All right. Here's the first one. Jesus. All right. The first thing in our verse is Jesus. It tells us that Jesus is the Christ. Now let me start with Jesus. He's a baby boy born 2,000 years ago to Mary that first Christmas. He was just like us. In fact, just like Luke, who's not here, he's at home. But our baby boy who's in our congregation, born to a mum, needing to be fed because he got hungry, needing to sleep because he got tired. He had friends and he made some enemies. He grew up and he learned a trade. He was a carpenter. I've lost them. There they are. He learned to use one of these and one of these, saw and chisel. Anybody else know how to use one of those? Not hard. Jeff does. He learned to be a carpenter. He had brothers. Who's got brothers? Just like you. He was very ordinary to look at, no different to anyone else. Any other young man growing up back then, and his name was Jesus. Now that is quite a special name. But he wasn't the only one called Jesus then. There were others, likely, who were called that at the time. But no one would have called their son Jesus if they didn't know what it meant. Do you know what Jesus means? Jesus means God rescues. Now, that's a good name for a boy, isn't it? God rescues. Well, anybody called Joshua here? There's one. Let's see. There he is. Yay! Do you know what Joshua means? God rescues. It's the same as Jesus. It's a good name for a boy. But at Christmas, we're not talking about this, Joshua. We're talking about Jesus, who is the Christ. Now, Christ isn't just another name, like Creed is another name for Joshua. It's like his surname. No, Christ is a title. Now, we have Queen Elizabeth, don't we? Elizabeth's her name. What's her title? Queen. She's the Queen. Now, we have Jesus Christ. Jesus is his name. What's his title? Christ. And do we know what Christ means? Christ means God's chosen king. God's chosen king. The one he chose to be king over everyone and everything. Well, the Jesus the Bible's talking about is Christ Jesus. Like us in lots of ways, a man who needed to eat and sleep, but different in one big way to everyone else in the world. He is God's chosen king. Okay, you've seen the first blade of my Swiss Army verse, Christ Jesus. Next blade, if I get it out, is this. Came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. Now that's a brilliant tool. That means that Jesus was outside of the world before he came into the world. Did you see that? Now, lots of people think that when Mary had a baby boy and gave him the name Jesus, that was when Jesus began. What's your birthday? Who can shout out the date of their birthday for me? Shanti. Shanti, let's listen. 9th of February. You can't give me that without the year. I need to know the year. 9th of February, 2001. Here's mine. 8th of July, 1969. Who's closest to that? Got to be quite old. 11th of July, May 69. We're very close, aren't we? That was the day I was born, and that was the day you could say that I came into the world. But I hadn't existed before. Before I came into the world, before my mum and dad had me, I didn't exist. But Jesus did. You see, he's the third person of our one God, and he's always existed. In the very beginning of our time, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together made everything that existed. They made the space and the planets and the stars and our earth and animals, and they made people. And God did it, and God the Son was there at the beginning, being the person through whom God made everything. But years and years later, about 2,000 years ago, as we know, God reset the clock. It was around about December the 25th-ish, in the year 000-ish, for our purposes, God reset the clock. Because that was the day God the Son, who had always existed, came into our world as Jesus, the human boy. That was the moment God came into the world. Unlike anything that had ever happened in history before or since, God came into the world. Now, here's another picture. Can anybody tell me what it is? On a what? It's ants on a lollipop stick. They are tiny, aren't they? And they all look very similar to us. Can you tell which ones are boys or girls? Nor can I. Thank you very much, Alvin, for that. The rest of us wouldn't have a clue, but Alvin knows they're all girls. Thank you very much. They're sometimes very strong and quite well organized. But has a human being ever become small enough to be down there with the ants, starting off as a baby ant and living in their world and eating their food and doing what ants do? No, never. It's impossible. Who'd ever want to become an ant? They're tiny little things that nobody cares about, do they? But Jesus, who is God's chosen king, the one who helped make the universe and everything in it, did something even more amazing than one of us becoming an ant. He became a human being like one of us. And he did it in the normal way by being born to a woman as a baby and growing up just like one of us. Christ Jesus came into the world. That's the two blades you've seen on my Swiss Army verse so far. You have to admit, it's a pretty cool verse, isn't it? Tells us lots of things about God. That he cares enough about us and our world to come into it. That he's not far away and distant, like a relative you never see. No, this is God who has come near and come close. But why? Why did he do it? Well, next bit, maybe this is the corkscrew. He came to save. It was a rescue that he was doing. When I was small, I was about 6 or 7. Who's near 6 or 7 now? Put your hand up if you're near 6 or 7. Okay, have you ever sat in the front seat, on the front seat of your car? You ever allowed to do that sometimes? Well, I was in the front seat of a car, and I was driving along, and I was being brought back from school, and I was leaning on the door, and we went round a roundabout. And the door wasn't properly closed. And the door flew open, and I flew out. And in about half a second, my hands and most of my body was out of the car, and I was that close to falling out of the car and being rubbed along the ground and breaking up into lots of little bits and maybe being run over. I was in real danger. I was about to be killed. But I was rescued. The person who was driving saw what happened, and he reached over and grabbed my arm just in time and pulled me back into the car. And in 1 second later, I was saved. I was rescued. That's the sort of saving that Jesus did for the world. Only his was special because he came into the world not just to save one person, but to save millions of people. One thing though, he did come to save people, but not everyone is saved. Have you thought about that? Do you know why? Some people say they don't want him to save them. And Jesus says, that's okay, I won't force you. If you don't want to be saved, you cannot be saved. One question for us this Christmas is, will we be one of the ones that Jesus saves? Will we say yes, please, to his rescue? Now, I've got something small and helpless in the next photo. It is small and helpless. Some of you might not think so, but he's small and helpless. He's a tiny little lovely spider. Who likes spiders? Okay. He's helpless because he's in the bath. Now, he is in very great danger in the bath. Because the thing about baths is they've got very steep sides, and if you try and climb up the side of a bath if you're a spider, you'll fall back down again. And there's only two things that can happen if you're a spider in the bath. One is they get flushed down the plug hole when the water comes in, and that's the end of them. Or the other is he can get rescued. Now, I'll tell you how I do it when I find one. I get a piece of card, and I get a cup, and I go and get my spider, and I put him on it, and then I catch him like that, and then I take him to the window. I'm trying to train up Lucy to do this, but while she's not yet trained, I still do it. And I throw him out the window, and he's saved. Has anybody ever done that for a spider? You've reached down into the bath and saved a spider? Well, you're a rescuer. Well done, you. Now, Jesus Christ came into the world to save. It's like that with us. We are small and helpless and we need saving. We're in danger and we can't save ourselves. The sides are too steep. What we need is someone who can reach down into our world and do the saving of us that we can't do ourselves. That's what my Swiss Army verse says Jesus did for us. Pretty amazing verse, but I've saved the best bit till last. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. I mentioned a minute ago that Christ Jesus came into the world to save people, but he doesn't save everyone. Why? Well, that's because some people don't want his rescue. They don't think they need it, or they don't know about it, or they simply say, no thanks, I can save myself. Well, the last word of our Swiss Army verse tells us who Jesus came to save, and by it we can each have an idea. If we are one of the ones Jesus came to save, the word is sinners. Jesus came to save people who admit they are sinners. Now, some people think that sin is doing bad things, like lying or stealing or cheating or being mean to other people. Now, those are bad things and God hates them, but they aren't sin. Sin is something inside that sometimes shows up on the outside when bad things happen. Who knows what this baby has got? He doesn't look very happy, does he? Who knows what he's got? Who's a small person who knows what he's got? Abigail, do you know? That's right, he's got chicken pox. Nasty. Now, chicken pox is a virus that you can't see. And it gets into you, inside your body, in your bloodstream, and it causes things to happen. It makes you sad and miserable and itchy because of all the spots you get. But the spots aren't the chicken pox. The chicken pox is inside you. Would it be any good to put plasters on the spots? Wouldn't help. No, your body's got to fix it inside. Well, sin is like the virus. It's something inside us that's really nasty. We can't see it because it is an attitude. You can't see an attitude by itself, but you can see what the attitude causes. Some of the things we end up doing because of sin inside us, we can see on the surface. So what sort of attitude is it? Is sin a good attitude or a bad attitude? What do you think? Abigail, it's a bad attitude to God. It's a bad attitude to the one person who matters. It's where a person says, I don't want God. I don't want to do what God wants. I want to do what I want. I want to be in charge and no one else. That is sin. And all the nasty things in the world come from that bad attitude to God. People don't tell the truth because they want to be in charge of what other people think of them, so they tell lies. Have you ever told a lie? Yeah, so you've got a bad attitude to God. People steal things because they want to be in charge of stuff and they don't want anyone telling them that taking other people's stuff is wrong. But that's what God says. He says, don't steal. And if you steal, you've got a bad attitude to God. So you see, sin is on the inside. It's our attitude to God. And we can only see it when the spots start showing on the surface. The spots are not the problem. The problem's inside. And we cannot save ourselves. Well, the bad news is that sinners are in the bath. They are in danger from God, who will not let people go on being sinners forever. He says there is a flood coming. Well, let's get back to our Swiss Army verse. Jesus Christ, that's the other way around, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When God reached down into our world and became one of us, being born that first Christmas, he was coming to the world to rescue sinful people. So what about the person who doesn't think they're a sinner? Jesus didn't come to save them. What about the person who thinks he's not that bad? Jesus didn't come to save them. What about the person who doesn't believe God made anything, let alone came to save people? Jesus did not come to save them, and they will not be saved. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. People who know they are bad inside, and they're stuck like that spider in the bath, and they can't get out. They know they need help, and if that help comes from Jesus, they'll say, yes, please, help me. A sinner. That's what Christmas is about. It's about my sin, that Jesus came to be born once so that I could be born again. That's my Swiss Army verse. Now, Christmas is great fun. Who's got one of those at home? And has it got presents under it like that? Who reckons they've got one with more presents than that? Lucky you. I love Christmas trees and all the presents. Well, how about remembering the gift God has given the world in Jesus? Before you open any more presents today, you say, thank you, God, for the present of Jesus. And then you can open the presents. That'd be a great prayer to say, wouldn't it? I love these Christmas lights. They're fun and they're beautiful and they light up the darkness and they're pretty. Who's got some Christmas lights inside their house? Who's got some outside their house? Who's seen the big Christmas lights in London? They're very nice as well. Well, as you see the lights light up your tree or your garden or somewhere else, don't forget to thank God for reaching down into the bath to light up your darkness. You might say a prayer when you see some Christmas lights. Thank you, God, for Jesus, the light of the world. And I love Christmas dinner. Who remembers that? That was 2 years ago. We didn't feel we had it in us to do it again this year, but maybe another time. Christmas dinner, turkey, lovely food, Brussels sprouts, yum. Maybe not Brussels sprouts. Bacon wrapped around sausages and stuffing, and then brandy butter and Christmas pudding. Lovely. Love Christmas feasting. Well, remember at your Christmas lunch today, Jesus, at his Last Supper, he took some bread and broke it. And he poured out some wine and he said, this is my body broken for you. And this is my blood poured out for you. So when you have your feast today, why don't you say a prayer? Thank you, Jesus, for dying to save me, a sinner. That would be a great prayer to pray this Christmas. Christmas is amazing. I hope you like my amazing Swiss Army verse. It was written by a man called Paul to a chap called Timothy 2,000 years ago. And he said in one sentence, the message of Christmas, we must not only not forget, we need to apply to our lives. Let's say it out loud together, three times. Ready? Go. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Let's try this. Can you do it without? Go. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Well, I've got a Christmas card. It's different. I don't think it'll get marketed at Clinton's, but I'm going to give every one of you one of these, and there's a special trick number on there as well. It's this, and I'd love you to be able to talk about those pictures and what they mean this Christmas. Maybe you can keep it all the way up to Christmas 2013, which I put on there because it's nearly 2013. I'm going to give one of those to you afterwards. Let me pray a final prayer for God's blessing. Please, Heavenly Father, this Christmas, may we enjoy all the fun things, but not forget that you sent your Son into the world to save sinners. May we admit we are those who need saving and receive your gift of love. And we ask it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.